Always a joy to return here to San Egido to speak and share worship with you. May it continue as long as I look in the mirror and say, yeah, you go. You can do it. And it's a special privilege always to be a teammate, Olivia Walsh. You know, we could go on the road, Olivia. Yuma, Brawley, you know, there's some of our counties on the way to Vegas. And to have Reverend Thomas, whom I met this morning, doesn't always happen that in-resident interim or settled ministers invite people that have been here before. So I want to thank him. It means a lot to me. Thank you for doing that, Thomas. Special morning today, paying tribute to a lot of losses of people that I knew in this congregation and you knew and loved. And at the first service, coming up the path was Carol Ulak, whom I had married to Craig Ulak 37 years ago. And I didn't know that Craig died 6 months ago, suddenly. So I want to dedicate this sermon to their light that shines on in my life and in your lives. Following the service, I'll be in the patio area to greet you, to share anything you want to share, any amendments or corrections of the minutes. And I got a couple of my books here if you want me to go home lighter. Hey, if you're into numerology, feel into today's date. 02, 02, 2020. But there's more. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but it's Groundhog Day. We're emerging from our burrows, seeing our shadows. But friends, instead of retreating to our dens, we're called to rise and shine. Particularly at this moment of dismal, dank, dreary reality in our lands. We're called to come out from our holes of hibernation and spread abundant rays of sunshine throughout this dreary world. That's the mission we're called to share on this, our new member Sunday. The key to numerical and spiritual growth here at San Egido, and I'm interested in your growing, not merely swelling, is going to bank upon sufficient numbers of you standing tall and shouting from the housetops or whispering among friends and associates, hey, look at what I found at UUFSD. I found some meaning and fellowship and service in life abundant. And I invite you to come and see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears our good news. You see, it's crucial for us to dare to become low-key evangelists, for we live in a religiously and morally partisan culture, and we don't possess the luxury of remaining neutral or spectating from the sidelines. And so if you or I were on trial for being a Unitarian Universalist partisan and all that this congregation has stood for in North County, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Would there? I mean, this is the time in American history for you and me to give witness and to unleash our full evidence of who we are and what we stand for. It may come as a surprise, but the word evangel isn't owned by the evangelicals of the world. Evangel simply means good news, which dwells at the core of our legacy and our mission. So your shining light and my shining light need to emerge from underneath the proverbial bushel. Never forget that the world of North County hankers for life-affirming news rather than news beset with fear and judgment. bigotry, and lies. For you and I as Unitarian Universalists have thrown our lot with the heritage of Isaiah from the Hebrew Scriptures. Yahweh has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. Yahweh has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, and to comfort all who mourn. Do we not aspire to live lives that bring good tidings to all who are afflicted? Is that not why we are here? Mortimer Arias, a Methodist bishop in Bolivia, was visiting a congregation in an extremely poor part of a Bolivian city where people were starving on the streets. On Sunday morning, Bishop Arias presided at the communion table, and the congregation was singing a joyful hymn, and the table was spread with an embroidered cloth, and on it stood a chalice and a loaf of bread. And just as the hymn was ending, a small boy slipped through the open doors at the back of the parish, a child of the streets, dirty and thin. And he raced up the center aisle to the communion table, and he grabbed the sacramental bread, and he began to eat it. Hey, what are you doing? The bishop exclaimed. And the child stopped eating, and he stared at the bishop, and he said with a face full of utter joy, "Well, they told me there was bread in the church, and I've come to get some." And a little child shall lead us toward our mission. The hurting of humanity always force the issue, don't they? So that's the telling question. Does our Unitarian Universalist gospel offer real spiritual and material nourishment to young and old alike, to all who go hungering and might happen upon us? Does our outpost here in Solana Beach furnish nutritious bread for the body and the spirit? Can you get fed here? And then be moved to feed others? You know what? After 52 years in the ministry, I'm tired of our Unitarian Universalist gospel, our good news, being hidden, misinterpreted, trivialized. I'm weary of people confusing us with unification, the Moonies, or unity, and essentially metaphysical enterprise. I'm not downgrading any of these, but we ain't who they are, okay? Or universal life, a mail order ministry. It's time to let our true light shine and then shine and then shine some more. However, there's more that disturbs me. Outsiders not knowing who we are, what we stand for, and where we're located is bad enough. But too many insiders, our own followers, are prone to dismiss our religion as well. Self-insults really sting. There are card-carrying Unitarian Universalists scattered throughout our 1,000-plus congregations in North America who consider themselves political action centers with a side order of spirituality. Like-minded social guilds, or sometimes I'm embarrassed to repeat, spit and argue clubs. Such assessments are not only erroneous, they're debasing. The undeniable truth is that we've cast our lot, frail and fragile as we are, we've cast our lot for better and for worse with a bona fide religious enterprise. the enduring center of Unitarian Universalism is historically rooted. It's theologically complex. It's ethically courageous and unabashedly spiritual. We've joined a religion comprised of mystical activists and compassionate change agents. We belong to an honorable, worthy heritage despite our ample warts. But if we're hesitant to promote ourselves as a genuine religion, why should we expect a befuddled world to do so? I'm bold enough to claim that our globe would be better off if there were more practicing Unitarian Universalists. Amen. And so whether you're a chronic UU or a newbie who stumbled upon us today, you've chosen to celebrate in a religious communion that possesses a magnificent gospel. What our universalists called the larger hope. The larger hope. We harbor good and hopeful news. The kind that can unclog closed minds. That can comfort dragging spirits. A gospel filled with soulful depth and prophetic stretch. That can work marvels internally, interpersonally, and internationally. Not all the time. But some of the time. But just why are we carriers of good news? Because ours is a religion that focuses upon the delights and duties of this world rather than waiting around for full benefits in a fanciful realm. Why? Because ours is a religion that commits to saving everyone, not merely our own skins or our own clans. Why? Because ours is a religion that distinguishes between the necessary pangs of conscience and the regrettable paralysis of guilt. But there's even more substance to our good news. While recognizing human limitations and shortcomings, we endorse our capacity to be and do good during our stay on this earth, to make real lasting differences, an incorrigibly life-affirming faith that believes that human beings can build beloved communities right where we're planted, that contends that no moral or political problem exists that can't be thoughtfully and compassionately engaged, and that insists that souls are renewable. Society is reformable. That's good news. That's stupendous news. And it's inherent in our history, in our ideals, when we become practitioners of that gospel. But I don't want to fool anyone, and especially myself. I'm a sentimentalist. I'm often easy. And ours is good news, but it's not sappy news. It's not dreamy-eyed news. Ours is a relentlessly realistic religion. We don't naively argue that life's injustices will be eradicated overnight, or in a few weeks, or in November, or during my regime, or even during our lifetimes. We concede that intractable evil dwells within our carefully crafted institutions as well as within our very own souls. Yet ours remains a religion that summons us to advance step by step, and then a couple sideways, and then one back, and then another one forward, and onward, and onward, tenderly homeward. So that our compassionate talk and walk can grow some corn, as the Native Americans are wont to say, grow some corn this afternoon. We promote chastened hopefulness in an age filled with dealers of gloom and purveyors of bigotry and pushers of sweetness. The Nazarene often said, "Be of good cheer." But when Jesus said that, he never used the Aramaic equivalent of cheerio, cheerio, like the rabbi. Unitarian Universalism simply avoids extremes of cynicism and optimism while spreading a resilient confidence, nudging us toward progress, ever onward, forward. Talk about good news. I mean, look at our name. I know it's long and clumsy and big and hard to share in an airport, but look at it. If we would only revere, let alone resemble our name, Unitarian Universalism, what's in a name? Lots, lots if we live up to it. Unitarianism asserts that the cosmos is unitary, that reality is ultimately interdependent. The divine reality is one. What a blessing for those among us who don't want to travel the spiritual path alone, who covet living in partnership at every level of existence. Unitarianism also decrees that every unit of life is worthwhile and to be treated as such. Every unit of life. Again, good news. Earthlings can convert life into a just and joyous journey. Every earthling. Universalism. Ah, that's a door through which I came. More good news. It envisions an infinite spirit holding every creature in loving embrace from start to finish, no exceptions. That means even the shaggiest and the shadiest among us. And yeah, even our enemies are redeemable. Our gospel urges us to come as we are, moving on the road toward whom we might become. Every living soul in the universe matters in our households. Can you imagine better news than that? The sad truth is that at different moments in history, the dominance have denied the status of soul to entire classes of beings whom they've wanted to control. Women, poor folks, GLBTQers, religious minorities, immigrants, persons of color, some other embattled group that you would choose to name. And Unitarian Universalism is always countered by saying, hey, either everyone is worthy to be saved or no one is. Either everyone gets in or no one enters the house. We shun no living being. And in recent times, we've upped the ante by exhorting humanity to treat the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea as animated, soulful, and of enduring value. The ballad, the words from Rebecca Parker, and the music Elizabeth Norton. There is a love holding me. There is a love holding all that I love. There is a love holding all. We rest in that love. How does it play out? You would have your example. You have your own odyssey of where you were turned around and brought into our home so that your light might shine more boldly. You might be braver and bolder at home and at work and in society, at play. I just want to share three examples, three modest examples. A Unitarian Universalist colleague of ours had a 17-year-old daughter who tried to commit suicide. And she failed and then was placed safely in a mental hospital. A friend of the family from that very congregation learned of her plight and went to visit, showed up. And as she leaned down to hug her friend's daughter, the young woman, the 17-year-old, reached upward, staring at the caring face. And then upon recognizing the flaming chalice worn around her visitor's neck, she firmly clutched it as if she were grasping a life-saving relic. Can we appreciate the restorative enormous power contained in our simple and few religious artifacts, as well as incarnated in our very physical presence, present and accounted for? This teenager, caught in the throes of despair, was in essence feeling deep support upon the sight of our flaming chalice. She was saying, "I know I'm lovable. I'm loved. Because my Unitarian Universalist parish dares to love me." Her life turned around because one of us turned up. Second example is a friend of mine. Illustrates the potential of our good news in the public arena in a small, his own inimitable fashion. Bruce doesn't own a car. So he rides the buses daily in Midtown San Diego, where we live, to and from his work, as well as the congregational functions. And he condensed his own version of Unitarian Universalism in about 25 words. And then he printed it on colorful cards. And during his daily dialogues on buses and streets of our town, when the moment seemed right, propitious, not always, maybe today, maybe not, he announces that he's a practicing Unitarian Universalist, as he puts it, a Unitarian Universalist in training. And then he asks his new acquaintance if they might be interested in knowing what he's found in his faith that brought him support and sustenance and challenge. And when people are curious, no coercion, this isn't conversion time, this is conversation, Bruce testifies to our faith as he knows it in his own heart and history. And then he might leave them with a card filled with information about our congregation on the backside. Low-key evangelism. Low-key evangelism. And finally, our youngest grandson is 17. Sort of a philosopher kind of guy. And he was about 7 or 8, and Carolyn and I would, every Wednesday on our day off, would have one of the grandchildren with us. As I've often said, it was one of the harder, but one of the better things I did in my ministry, because I didn't want to give up the whole day. But Carolyn said, "Are you going to be part-time Wednesday? Or can you go the whole route?" And going the whole route has thickened our lives. Owen's now 17. He was about 7, and he expressed the heart of our gospel this way. He said, "Grandma," we were on a field trip in Balboa Park, and he said, "Grandma, does the earth talk?" And Carolyn wisely retorted, "Well, what do you think, sweetie? What do you think?" And Owen said, "I think it does." When we hurt the earth, it sneezes. And when we're good to the earth, it smiles. That's our job. to ignite more smiles and sneezes during our stay here. We've got to always welcome yet one more soul, forge yet one more compassionate connection, take yet one more just and merciful stand. We fulfill our mission whenever we dare to wear a chalice or evangelize face to face, whenever we listen carefully without recoiling to angry youth in our own neighborhood, or sustain a lover's quarrel with our government on specific issues without running away or running over, but face to face. Whenever we reconcile with an estranged relative or spend real time with a child at risk. And whenever we venture any oppression work that's beyond our comfort zone or join in an interfaith group to appreciate the deeper meanings of their chosen gospel, we're spreading our light. Our light shines whenever we take a walk with a newly greeted elder in a nearby nursing home, or boldly green our little corner of the earth. Whenever we make sure that our discretionary income goes to causes and people who need it, as well as juggle spiritual disciplines of private meditation and civic protest. And so let us leave today with a fresh resolve to sing our gospel anew. Spread our gospel anew. Resemble our Unitarian Universalist gospel, that it might shine and shine and shine some more from this day forward and in the seasons beyond counting, 10% of the time. Shalom. Salam. Blessed be, and amen.